Hey, I'm Rob Tigan.
And I'm Joanna Tigan. Rob and I have been married over 30 years and share an addiction to coffee, bookstores, and Christmas music.
We often debate how many dogs are enough and who should win The Voice every season.
We're a neat freak married to a not-so-neat freak, an explorer to a homebody, and an introvert to a people person.
But we do agree that our vows are for always, children are a gift, and prayer is powerful.
Our hope through this podcast is that we can walk with you in caring for the soul of your family. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for joining us today on the Growing Home Together podcast. Joanna and I just celebrated 31 years on our wedding anniversary. So we've been doing this marriage thing for a long time now. And both of us got a kick out of a quote from Karen Eamon's book, Keep Showing Up, that says, the first 50 years are the hardest. So yeah, we only 19 more years to go, babe. And she isn't wrong. While we love each other very much and we're in this for the long haul, it's not easy for two imperfect people to stay close, connected, and happy for life.
Right. And maybe you're feeling this in your marriage today. You know, your spouse just isn't the person that you thought you married, and their habits are making you crazy. You might not feel understood or cared for. And more, you're finding yourselves in conflict and you're putting distance between you. And the question we want to tackle today is, how can we keep showing up instead of giving up in our marriages? And Karen Eamon is here to help us do that.
Yes, Karen is a Proverbs 31 ministry speaker, a New York Times bestselling author, a mom, and the wife to her college sweetheart, Todd. She knows the challenges and joys of marriage and how, with God's help, your love can last. Thank you, Karen, for joining us today.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well, before we jump in, can you tell us just a little more about yourself and the story of your marriage?
Sure. Well, I live in the middle of Michigan, in the middle of the mitten. I like to think of Michigan as America's high five, you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
And I am married to my college sweetheart, Todd. We have three adult children, one son-in-law and one daughter-in-law. So I actually kind of have five kids. And we just recently became grandparents for the first time to a little boy named Jasper.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I write and speak for Proverbs 31 Ministries. And I love just encouraging people to share the gospel by how they live their lives. And I like to antique hunt and root for the Detroit Tigers. How's that?
All right.
That's great. I mentioned one of your books, Keep Showing Up, and in it you describe the disappointment you felt as a young wife, that your marriage wasn't the fairy tale that you had dreamed of. Do you think that most of us start out with this false idea of what marriage is really going to be like?
I think so. Sometimes we get that from, you know, Hollywood and things we watch, and other times we get it from our own imagination, which is where I got it from, because I grew up in a broken home. I don't remember my dad being home much. He left when we were, I was in the second grade, and the divorce wasn't final until I was in the fifth grade. He came home a few times, but then he turned around and left again. So from, you know, second grade, actually fifth grade for sure on, I didn't have an up-close view of marriage. So it was easy to craft one in my mind that was going to be perfect. And I wasn't going to end up like my parents. And I was going to find Mr. Right, and I was going to be his Mrs. Right, and we weren't going to fight. We go smoothly. And, you know, boy, when we had our first fight on our honeymoon, that really kind of came to be not true, all that I'd crafted in my mind. And it was hard. It was hard to realize that, you know, marriage is hard and it's not about me. And it was a lesson I've had to learn over several decades now.
Right. You know, I remember pretty vividly when Rob and I started out. He has this wonderful quality of being a neat freak. And let's just say I don't. And he did not know what to make of what we used to call my mess blindness, you know? And something small like housekeeping had the potential to become just this big barrier between us, right? You know how they do? What would you tell the couple who is struggling with the differences in their habits or the priorities of how they spend their time or whatever those differences might look like?
You know, sometimes it is something that first attracted us to our spouse. You know, they say opposites attract. Well, that's true. And then after a while, when you're married, opposites attack. And those things that used to be endearing or cute, you know, now drive you crazy. Like you say, messiness. For me, it was my husband was always late for everything. And I thought it was cute. We used to tease and say, oh, he's on Todd time. You know, he's late today. He's on Todd time. Isn't that cute? He needs a wife to keep him on track. Well, I didn't keep him on track, you know? So sometimes I think I just need to stop and think back to when we were dating and how I found those things cute. In fact, my pastor and I, we pray for each other about this, that he will find the things about his wife that drive him nuts as cute and endearing, and that I will do the same for my husband. And I think that can be one thing that is good. And then another thing I've really learned when it comes to, let's say, cues, I'll just mention one. Not everyone is a parent, but for us, parenting was one of those issues where we were completely opposite, completely opposite. I like to step in and prevent my child from making a bad choice, you know, and my husband likes to step back, let them make the choice. He always says, you know what, they'll only do it once and they'll learn their lesson. And it used to drive me crazy when the kids were smaller. And then when they got to be teenagers and some of the choices were, you know, a little more consequential, you know, but I just that if my husband and I thought the same, behaved the same, acted the same, decided the same on everything, then, you know, it's almost kind of like one of us is unnecessary because we think alike on everything. But I've learned to see our oppositeness, our thinking differently, let's say on parenting, as a strength, because when we bring those two things together, we can find kind of a happy middle. And sometimes I was able to say to him, no, we really need to step in and prevent this because what I think they're going to do might be illegal. You know, if it, you know, came to something with one of our teenagers and he would be, you know, you're right. We probably better, you know, investigate and see if this is what's going on. And other times I learned to step back and to be hands off and let the child make the bad choice so that the consequences would scream. So we didn't have to, you know, so seeing those opposite ways of attacking things as strengths can be something that really helps you to get through them.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I think sometimes the issues that we look at in marriage are a little more serious than, you know, whether Joanna has laundry on the floor or whether we forgot to dust or something like that. But in marriage, we often have a front row seat to our spouse's sin struggles as well. And those sins can look pretty ugly sometimes. So how do you respond when our spouse is sinning in anger or selfishness or integrity issues or something like that? What should our response be towards each other?
Yeah, it is hard when you have an upfront, you know, row seat to 24/7, your spouse's behavior, because guess what? You married a sinner and you're a sinner too. And so now we're just, our sin is in full display as we're married and we're working things through. So one thing I've had to learn is to give my spouse space. I'm not good at that. Like, I want to talk about things now. I'm a people person. I could be around people all day long and not get exhausted, but my husband needs space. So sometimes when I feel like he is struggling with something and he needs to just have some alone time with God, I need to just give him that and not think that I'm the Holy Spirit and I need to tell him what he needs to change and how he needs to change it. I just need to shut up and pray and give him some space. And also, I think another thing that is really crucial to keep in mind is that your marriage is a message and people are watching you preach. Are they going to see the gospel? Are they going to see you overlook your spouse's bad behavior, forgive your spouse's, you know, wrong behavior towards you, and grant them grace and pray for them and love them despite the things they do that are wrong? And the opposite is true too. Are they going to do that to you? Because then I feel like we see the bigger picture, that marriage isn't about us and making us happy. It's about displaying the gospel right up close, you know, to each other and to people that are watching. And I'll tell you, you know, one of the things that made me cry the most, I think, in my life was when a young woman who had seen our marriage up close, she'd been in our house as a teenager and as a young adult. And I remember a couple times her witnessing my husband and I kind of get into it a little and then forgive each other. And I just remember thinking, oh, you know, she's seen it all. She's almost like one of our kids. She was not a believer. She was dating our son's best friend. And we were around her for probably 3 or 4 years when one day she called me and said that she had decided to trust Christ and she was going to be baptized. at a church and she wanted me to come. And I just started bawling. And she said, and you know, one of the reasons that I have decided to become a Christian is because of watching you and Mr. Eamon and the way that, you know, you guys don't act like you're perfect, but you sure seem to serve a God who is. And I wanted to know more about him. And I thought we'd blown it in front of this girl because she's bad and the ugly, you know, not just the good. But she said she saw the gospel through our marriage and through us forgiving each other when, you know, we were, you know, not getting along so great. So I think it can be something that God uses, and we need to keep that in mind.
I really love that so much, to think that our marriage can have a whole purpose outside of ourselves that God has in mind and the way he can use it. That's just tremendous. And, you know, I think that everybody listening can relate to this struggle that we're talking about, to just love and accept our spouse when their weaknesses are showing, right? But I think sometimes the flip side of that is that as the person who knows them best, we can see our spouse's potential. I mean, I love the scripture that says love hopes all things and love believes all things. And you do have hopes for your spouse and you just believe in the person that they're growing into. But how can we encourage our spouse to reach their potential without it coming off like we're trying to fix them or change them?
I think being inquisitive and asking them, you know, periodically, how can I pray for you? Or what's God teaching you? My husband and I, we ask those questions to each other often. We have other questions we ask too that to help kind of prevent some conflict from happening, kind of headed off at the pass. But I think just being interested in them as a person, is them as a child of God, and asking them how you can pray, what are you learning, maybe memorizing scripture together, and reciting it for each other, just really encouraging their spiritual growth, knowing that that's the key to a good marriage, is two people who love God more than they love each other. Their relationship with God is the most important thing. That's what can help our marriage to grow closer and stronger and to be that gospel that displays to others the truth of Jesus and the truth of the Bible. So don't just see them, you know, as your spouse. See them as your sibling in Christ. You know, my husband's not just my husband. He's also my brother in Christ. And I need to be concerned about his spiritual growth.
Yeah, that's good. Because I think it's easy to think it's our job to fix our spouse, and rather than journeying with them and partnering with them and seeing it more as an opportunity to encourage and spur them on. And so sometimes our approach, I guess we just get that internal struggle of feeling threatened can come into play sometimes with that. But to see ourselves coming alongside and really spurring each other on, I think is a great, great message. You know, we're kind of talking about these different disappointments that we have in our marriage, but sometimes those disappointments come outside of our marriage too. They might be a financial struggle, or maybe our kids are making choices that we don't are not happy with, and things like that. And that can bring stress into our marriage as a couple. So what would you say, how do we keep those life struggles from becoming marriage struggles too?
I think the most important thing is to remember that we're on the same team. I think it's super easy in the heat of, you know, raising kids or financial trouble, or, you know, someone's lost their job, or, you know, whatever is threatening to shake you from the outside. I think it's really easy to kind of turn your frustration and your anger onto your spouse and see them as the enemy and see them as the problem, instead of reminding yourself that you're a team, you're on the same team, and you are not each other's enemy. There are sometimes my husband and I will stop mid-sentence when we're having a domestic, you know, loud domestic discussion. And I'll just look at him and go, oh, you're not my enemy, you know, and he'll say, oh, and you're not my enemy. You know, it's those outside things that threaten to knock us off course. It's, you know, Satan, who doesn't want to see a successful Christian marriage. So I think it's really crucial that you remember you're on the same team. And the other thing we say to each other is, none of this surprises God at all. Whatever we're going through, he's not up in heaven, wringing his hands, wondering how it's all going to work out. You know, he's not worried. So we shouldn't be either. We need to look at what he's trying to teach us through this situation, instead of just praying, God, get me out of here. You know, whatever it is that's happening to us, to ask instead, God, why have you brought us here? What are you trying to teach us through this trial, through this fire that we're walking through? Help us to learn the lesson. Help us to not turn on each other, but to realize that we together are a team and you have got this covered. This didn't surprise you at all.
Yeah, I love that. I know for us, one area of growth around that has just been having to learn empathy. Like if I'm stressed out and worried and preoccupied over something happening in our life together, chances are Rob is too. And to just take a minute to say, this is hard, isn't it? You know, I'm feeling that with you. We're experiencing the same struggle as one another. And I think trying to get outside of myself and ask myself, how might Rob be feeling in this situation before we even tackle the problem solving can sometimes move us forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's like you were saying earlier in terms of how you and Todd would approach parenting differently. And I think we get into these life struggles and that same thing happens. We often we want to tackle and fix the problem, but we come at it from different angles. And rather, like you said, seeing ourselves on the same team, trying to tackle the thing, even if we look at it differently, we start attacking each other. So that's a great word.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned this before, but I really was hoping that we could camp for a minute on the topic of forgiveness. Marriage is a daily road of forgiving each other and for accepting grace for our own mistakes too. How do we become people who are like Jesus? He says his mercies are new every morning and he never gives up on us. And he chooses to let go of the past and constantly give us another chance to get it right. So how do we become those kind of people to one another in our marriage?
Well, I think remembering how much we have been forgiven and how, you know, the Lord still loves us despite our shortcomings, despite our sin, despite our weaknesses, despite our, you know, my husband and I call it file 13, the thing we pull out of file that we're rehashing over and over again. Didn't we already go past this and put this away in the file folder? No, we're pulling it out again. Those same issues that crop up. Knowing that God, he doesn't hold those things against us. He forgives us when we ask for forgiveness and he wipes the slate clean. And just like you said, those new mercies. And then another thing I think is really helpful is something actually one of my friends told me once. She said that her father once gave her some marriage advice and it really was impactful for her. And when she talked about it, I thought, wow, that's really great. I want to do that too. She said that her dad every morning would tell himself before he got out of bed, this is the first day I'm married to this woman. He would try to rewind his mind back to, I'm going to act as though this is the first day. I woke up the first morning on our honeymoon with everything ahead and all of the excitement and the, oh, God brought us together. I'm so lucky to be married to this person and to get that feeling all over again, instead of waking up and, you know, pulling up those things from the old file cupboard and, you know, getting, I like to say historical instead of hysterical, you know, where you bring up things from the past. Instead of doing that, think back to what it was like that first morning you woke up and you looked at that person. You thought, oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I can't believe we're finally married. It really help. It's not a magic pill, but I think it's a good perspective to, rather than rehashing all of the bad, to think about all the good and all the potential looking forward that you can have if you treat each other in a way that forgives and moves on and grants those new mercies and gives grace, because we desperately need it ourselves. So we should be lavish in granting grace to others because of our need for it in our own lives.
Yeah, I think that's good. We often do kind of think, oh, they're doing that again. You know, we've had this discussion and we're going to have it again, but that really is what God does to us. And in the moment we don't think of that. I mean, it's like God doesn't sit and say, he did that again. And so, yeah, to have that same kind mercy towards our spouse, I love that. So in your book, you dig into the struggle that a lot of spouses are dealing with, where they feel like they're more committed to growing the relationship than their spouse. So what would you tell the husband or wife who feels like they're the only one showing up in the marriage?
Oh, that's tough. It's really, really hard when you feel like things aren't being reciprocated. But, you know, even though it kind of sounds cliche, I think it's really important to remind ourselves that we're doing all of this for an audience of one. We're not doing it to be noticed by our spouse. We're not doing it as some magic pill. You know, we're doing it because we meant our marriage vows, that for better or for worse, you know, we're going to hang in there. Of course, not if there's a biblical grounds or some situation of danger or something where someone needs to leave. But for those normal, everyday, ordinary struggles that all marriages have, you know, we need to keep showing up, to keep granting grace, to realize that even on those days I don't like my husband, I still stood up in front of 250 people and said I was going to stay committed to him, and that that vow was to my husband, but it was also to God. And so I think sometimes we just have to remember that, yeah, sometimes marriage isn't fun, but we need to continue to show up, to grant grace, to trust God, that he's going to grow us through it, that that he is going to meet us when we have a need, and to realize that we're doing it out of honor to him and out of our commitment to him, and not necessarily to our spouse on those days when, you know, we just really don't like them so much. But that's been something that, not so much now. And we've been married 36 years now. Things are getting a little easier. Maybe we're getting toward that first 50 years, right? First 50 years are the hardest. But I think especially in some rough patches I can look back on, remembering that I made this commitment to God is what kept me going. I actually had a sign made that I hang in my office that says 251 guests. And it has our wedding date on it. And sometimes I would look at that sign and go, yep, I stood up in front of 251 guests and I said that I was going to continue to love this man for better, for worse. I can keep doing it. I can do it one more day. And one more day would pass. And I might need to tell myself that again the next day, but I was able to get through it knowing that, you know, our marriage is a message and people are watching us preach. It's just such a perspective change when we realize that marriage isn't, you know, when Hollywood says, oh, you complete me and I'm like half a person looking for the other half of the of a person that we're going to get together and now we're suddenly whole. No, you're a whole person, even if you're single, but you're looking for that other person that will walk through life with you, honoring God and pointing others to Christ.
Thank you for that. That's really great. I think we're talking about what do we do when we feel like, gosh, I'm just hurting or I'm frustrated because my needs are just not getting met in this relationship like I had hoped that they would. But I think sometimes we think our spouse knows what our needs are in the first place, and maybe they don't. And maybe a place to start is to learn how to share what our needs are in the first place with them. But that can be really difficult. What are some practical ways that we can come to our spouse and really help them understand maybe what the needs of our heart are, or the ways we need to be supported in a way that won't make our spouse defensive or feel like we're criticizing or complaining or something?
Well, I think even before you have a conversation about that, which I will talk about in a second, but I think even before that, you need to ask yourself, am I being unrealistic about these needs here? And I think sometimes we get the wrong impression that our spouse is also supposed to be our best friend, and we're going to him or her for something we really should be going to a good friend for. Instead, our spouse can't be everything to us. They can't be our very, very best friend all the time and our perfect spouse, right? And even more than that, they can't be our God. We need to remember that they're not our God. They don't know everything. They can't be everywhere, do everything, meet our every need. We sometimes go to our spouse for things only God can do. So be realistic about your needs, making sure you're not going to your spouse wanting them to be God and not wanting them to be your very, very best friend. Maybe you need to take some things to a good girlfriend or a guy friend, you know, instead of always thinking that you're your spouse, because sometimes they can get exhausted. My husband gets kind of exhausted. I talk a lot. What first attracted him to me was how I could talk and work a room, and loved it. But then about 3 days into our honeymoon, he thought, is she ever going to stop?
That's funny.
But he always teases that if I pass away before he does, he knows what he's going to put on my tombstone. It's going to be a single period. She's finally done. I think we need to be realistic about our needs, not, you know, putting unrealistic expectations on our spouse, expecting them to be every relationship in our whole life and our God. And then I think we just need to have an open conversation with them. One time it was suggested to me to sit down with your spouse, and I think it's a great suggestion to talk about your needs, not in an accusatory way at all, but just say, you know what, I'm going to list what I think are my top five things I would really like to see in our marriage. And my spouse is going to list the top five things too. We're going to do it separately. We'll maybe go out for coffee, kind of ignore each other in the coffee shop with our own little notepads and write them down. And then in a very just basic factual manner, we're going to discuss them. We're not going to point fingers and go, you know, number three, that's a big one for me and you never do it. No, we're just going to say, these are the things that are really important to me when it comes to our relationship, our home, maybe somebody will put that they really like things neat, you know, maybe, but you know, or I know my husband likes things picked up around the house. He's kind of a neat Nick. I am too, but we are about different things, like certain things I want neat, he doesn't care about, and vice versa. So we've had the discussion before, like, where's our main area of neatness? Like, we just really want the living room, dining area that you can see from the living room. If that's picked up, that's great. If the guest bathroom, you know, isn't the neatest or needs to be dusted or the mirror needs to be cleaned, that's okay. We just can't have everything perfect all the time. So in this one of his top five needs, let's talk about that. What does neat look like to you? Or maybe one of the five needs is somebody does just really like to talk and wants to process through some things and talk through some things that are going on, but they're like me and they just want to do it all the time the minute their spouse comes through the door after a hard day's work. Well, that's one of my needs that I want, but I'm kind of setting it up in an unrealistic manner for my husband. So I will say, can we on Fridays, when your work week is done and you come home, can I make some, you know, snack for you, some drink, whatever hot coffee we're going to have, we're going to sit down and I have 45 minutes to tell you about my week, things I want your opinion on, ask you questions about, bring you up to speed on, and you will really listen. Like, you won't be in your mind making your list of all the things you need to do in the yard work or whatever. You'll really be engaged in listening to me. Like, that's one of my top five needs, is for you to listen to what's going on in my life. I just maybe have to go about it a different way that fits in their schedule. List those needs, but then figure out how realistically your spouse can meet them. That's not always going to look like what you want it to look like.
Right. I love that. And I love the way that you said to approach it in a mutual kind of a way. Like, I want to hear your needs just as much as I want to express my own. That's really fantastic.
Well, your book's a great place to start too. Keep showing up. That's because there's a lot of practical help in there, I guess, or tools to keep kind of having those conversations and encourage us in that journey. And I think you mentioned it earlier in the program, but you also mentioned in the book about those questions that you and your husband ask each other on a pretty regular basis. That's helpful too, to just kind of keep that conversation open so that your dialogue is, you're not letting those things build, so to speak.
Yes. Yes. And another tool that's in there that I think people will find helpful, that's really been helpful for us, is I have a whole section on working through trying to find your unique ministry as a couple. I think when we can realize that our marriage is about something bigger than just us, and that God has put us together for a reason, and there are people that he can reach that can only be reached through our unique blend of talents, our unique blend of opposite habits and different personality traits and different ways of attacking things. And through the years, my husband and I have sought to find something outside of our four walls that we can do together. And there's a whole section that helps you work through that, so you can realize that you are a team and that God wants to use you. And it's for something greater than just what happens within your own four walls.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm thinking back to what, 6-7 years ago, Rob and I stepped into ministry to international students together. And it was inherently a together kind of a ministry, because we're showing hospitality together and building relationships with the kids together. And you're right, it was so energizing and life-giving to our life as a family, but certainly our life as a couple. And so, yeah, that's a really fabulous idea.
Well, and it doesn't have to be something huge where you're, you know, going, you know, and doing something a couple hours a week together. Maybe you're in a season where you have small children. When we were in that season, my husband really felt like he had a mission field to an unknown people group where it was the factory he worked at. He said, you know, so many people there just didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't know anything about God. And so he really wanted to start Bible studies on his break times for people who had never studied the Bible before. Like, he really didn't want the Christians coming. He wanted people that didn't even own a Bible coming. And so the kids and I would stay at home, and we would at night, because my husband worked nights, we would pray for Daddy, and he would tell us different, you know, people's names and how to pray for them. And we would bake cookies for him to take to the break time. And that was, like, for that time period, for about 5 years, our family's little ministry was making cookies and praying for Daddy and his Bible study at work. Well, long story short, there was a man that came almost every time, but he was intoxicated. He would go out and drink on his breaks, and he would come to the Bible study, and he would sit there and fall asleep sometimes. Didn't seem to be interested at all. But through that Bible study, he came to know Jesus. And fast forward 10 years later, he now is retired from the factory and he started a nonprofit ministry, a halfway house for men trying to sober up and get their life back together. And I look back at that and think, my kid's little prayers and our babies had a part. God used that. God could have done it any way he wanted to. He's God. But he chose to allow us to enter into that little season where I felt like I wasn't doing him a lot because I was a stay-at-home mom, but it not only changed that man's life, but now hundreds of people have gone through this halfway house ministry that he has in Michigan. And I just love to see what God does when we just say, you know, here I am, use me in however big or little way you want to, and use me as a couple, use us as a family.
That's great. Yeah, I think that can help us, not focus as much on some of those day-to-day issues too. Like if we have that common goal and that common purpose, and you can see things like that without even realizing it in those small ways that there was kind of a legacy thing happening in just even the smallest ways. I think that gives you kind of a, like you said, you step outside of yourselves a little bit. So that's great.
I want to give you a perspective too. Another time when our kids were a little older, our family's ministry was going to an abuse shelter for women. It was kind of a halfway house itself. They had a Bible study every Wednesday night and we would go and serve the meal. I would help in teaching the Bible study. And then my husband and our kids would help watch the children during the Bible study, the children of these women who were in situations where they'd had to flee their homes. And I'm telling you, when I was complaining about my house being too small, or I was complaining about my husband not being attentive, and I got all full of myself, having myself a little pity party, I would sometimes go on Wednesday night and I would see these women who had no husband. In fact, the husband they used to have was not safe. And they had no house. They were living in a halfway house. They could only stay there 6 months and they didn't know what they were going to do. All of a sudden, my too tiny house and my imperfect husband looked differently to me than it had when I was all full of myself and having a pity party.
Mm. Yeah, I know what you mean. Rob and I served as foster parents in the past, and seeing Rob love someone else's child was so precious. And I think when we get to see our spouse using their spiritual gifts and exercising their passions and just being who they are as God created them to be, wow, you just get a whole different sense of appreciation for who they are. Yeah, kind of made me fall in love with him in a whole new way.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, and I think, you know, as we talk today, I think that I'm just, you know, I'm thinking all the things that we've covered because we could keep going here. But, you know, the reality, like you said, making that commitment before God and these other people. And marriage is one of those few covenants in the Bible that's for a lifetime. It's supposed to be till death, right? And yet, I also think in terms of our relationship with God, I mean, he has made this covenant with us and he is faithful and he never breaks it, even when we do at times break it. And yet God wants so much more than that. He didn't set a covenant relationship with us just so that, you know, that could be it, right? He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to be close. And I often think of that in terms as Joanna and I have gone through these 31 years in marriage, like that sometimes that covenant in those hard times, the covenant reality of our marriage is what keeps us going. You know, it keeps us strong. But I have to always remember too, that God wants more for us in our relationship with him and with each other than just for it just to be a covenant. So that's why you keep showing up, but also keep working to build a, you know, a stronger marriage too, and learning to love each other better as well. But, you know, I know there's, as people are listening to this, I'm hoping they're encouraged and uplifted, but there may be people listening too that feel like maybe they're not feeling a lot of hope in their relationship right now, and they're at kind of the bottom, and they're trying to keep in. So I don't know if you'd be willing to pray for the husbands and wives who are listening and maybe feeling like they're the only one showing up and they need extra strength, and hopefully their partner to come in and work together. So I don't know if you could just say a prayer for our listeners today.
Thank you for asking. Father, thank you so much for Jesus, the only true meter of all of our needs. I thank you, Lord, for everyone who's listening, even those who are in a hard spot, who feel like they're showing up, but their spouse isn't, who feel like they're tired of showing up, who feel like they're just not seeing any change. Lord, I just pray that you will speak to their hearts. You will reassure them with your love. Reassure them that you see, even when it seems like nobody on earth sees what they're doing, and their faithfulness and their commitment and their desire to have a marriage that glorifies you, Lord. Strengthen them and encourage them. Give them a little glimmer of hope, Lord, that things will change, that they just need to keep showing up, keep showing the gospel, keep loving you, Lord, and realize that there are things that are happening that they can't see. And also, Lord, I just pray that they will remember their commitment, that covenant that they promised you, that through it all, they would remain faithful, Lord. So strengthen them. I do pray that there would be change that they see that comes, Lord. But even if it doesn't happen overnight, Lord, I pray that you will continue to give them hope and endurance and a new perspective, Lord, that they're doing this for you and not just for their spouse. And I too pray, Lord, that you'll bring along some friends in their life that will encourage them, that will walk this road with them in the flesh, people they can actually sit down and talk with and process things with, Lord, that will be an encouragement to them as well. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Karen. I know today we've just had a little taste of just the encouragement and the insight that you have to help all of us in our marriages and in our relationship with Jesus. And I know our friends are going to want to be able to take hold of more of what you have online. So where's the best place to connect with you there?
Probably my website, which is KarenEman.com. And Eman is spelled E-H-M-A-N. So E-H and then man. And on there, they can find out all the different places I am on social media. And I have some freebies there. There's some free getting to know you again date night questions that they can run off and have to go on a cheap date with their spouse and just ask each other some questions that'll help spark some conversations. There's some other different free 5-day challenges they can take advantage of and lots over there on my website. So I think that's the best place, KarenEman.com.
Okay, yeah. And be sure to check out the show notes, everybody, because we'll have links to Karen's website and her wonderful book on there for you too. And, you know, Rob and I would love to connect with you too over on our website at growinghometogether.com. You're going to find a free marriage devotional that you can download and resources to make memories with your kids and with each other. And Rob and I would love to connect with you there. So Karen, thank you so much for today. And just the reminder that we're not in this alone, that God is with us too. And just the hope that we have in him. This has been tremendous.
Well, thanks again so much for having me, you guys.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for joining us today on the Growing Home Together podcast. At Growing Home Together, we're caring for the soul of your family.
And growing home together with you. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.